The wild here doesn't whisper, it roars. Glaciers crack like thunder. Waterfalls carve paths through time. And in the middle of it all, she waits. Motor Yacht Unbridled. A sanctuary of warmth and refinement in the heart of Alaska's untamed frontier. Bears wander the shoreline. Whales breach on the horizon. Seals nap on drifting ice while you sip champagne on the aft deck. This isn't a cruise, it's a calling, and only the bold will answer. Now booking your next unforgettable charter, yachtunbridled.com or through your preferred charter broker.
Top of the morning, folks. It's Captain Liam here on the West Coast in Seattle on board the beautiful motor yacht Unbridled. And I'm honored to have Sarah Dingle here from Seize the Day Training. How are you this morning, Sarah?
I am wonderful. Thank you. It's the afternoon here. And so you're on the wonderful motor yacht Unbridled, and I'm in my home in Yorkshire with it's raining outside. Glass half full.
Oh, exactly. But it comes around quick, doesn't it? The summer is coming around quick. It's ending here. You know, the summer's ending here and it'll kind of go into winter. We've kind of got about 4 months in Seattle here where it rains a lot. So I'm kind of feeling that energy. I'm trying to build a bit of positivity around everyone.
Well, if anyone can do it, it's you. And, you know, still to this day, because when you work on yachts, obviously you're chasing the sun most of the time. Still to this day, I still love to put a pair of Wellington boots on. It's still novel to me now.
Oh, lovely. Yeah, I see. This is my first winter, actually, in yachting. I've done 25 years and had a wonderful career, and this first winter came up, and I must be vulnerable and transparent. I'm like, being with the owner's team, and I'm like, winter in Seattle?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's my style.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm further south, just a touch. Mexico, maybe, you know.
Yeah.
But the vessel, it's good for the vessel. We've got some big projects happening and going to be ready for the next summer close to Alaska for 2026. And yourself, you seize the day training. Tell me a little bit about your background. We've already talked about kind of your history in yachting, but just run through it again because I think it's quite fascinating for people to know you and the story behind seize the day training.
Okay, so I'll try to stay brief because the long version makes me sound like I'm 250 years old, you know. So I was a dive instructor in Mallorca for 3 years, and that's how I got into the super yacht. So I went straight in as a chief stew. I did 10 years on sail and motor, circumnavigated, had an amazing time. It was really fantastic. And a large part of that, being a chief stew, so I went all the way up to 100 meters, was training junior stews. I was always on charter vessels, dual season, so it was super busy. And whilst I loved training, you know, sometimes you'd have, you know, 10 hours, 3 hours before the next guest came on board. Getting green stews on board is fantastic, but having to train them, the basics, I always kind of thought, gosh, I wish there was something out there that could help. Fast forward, I ended up in the south of France for 15 years. I worked as a yacht manager with Hill Rob, a charter broker assistant with Wyco. And then I got into, I know everything, 250 years old I am.
You only look 25 then, still. You still look like that green junior stew showing up on the dock, you know?
Oh, thank you. I'll call you on a daily basis for compliments. So then I worked for the Crew Academy for 5 years as a full-time trainer. So I was training on board, so helping second stews move into their first chief stew position, like management, training, a lot of conflict resolution, especially with the galley and the interior. So all different levels from juniors. Sometimes if a chief stew had been appointed, I would take away her juniors for 5 days after speaking with her about her style, the owner's style, and then bring them back. It's like a boot camp.
Yeah.
I kind of bring them back all trained up. So 15 years I was based there. So in total, it's been 18 years that I've been training as an IAMI guest trainer. So I was one of the very first ones there with Joey and Lynn and Kim Woody.
Yeah, what's the why? Is the why because you see the results or you see the value out of the training so immediately? Because I think it's such an important part.
I love it. I absolutely love it. If it's something, I think with training, if it's something, you have to be passionate about it. If it's not something that you're passionate about, and the thing with the super yachts, you know, it's been 27 plus years I've been in the industry. I absolutely believe in the industry. I love it. And when you're delivering these courses, you're changing people's whole life.
Yeah.
You know, the yachting career, it's not 9 to 5 and you go home and see mum and dad and hang out with your mate. Yeah. It's a lifestyle. It's not just a career choice. And that if you get the right yacht and the right crew by being well-trained and knowing the prompts and being educated and prepared, it's life-changing. You know, the crew that I worked with are still my best friends and family, and they're all around the world. And you'll know yourself, your crew become your family, they're your comrades. And it's such a respectful environment that, as I said to you before, Liam, that, you know, you get to 18, it's like leave home, live on your own, be independent. And then you go into a yachting environment where you have to coexist with these 12, 8, 12, 15, however many people sharing a bunk bed, you know, beds in this tiny cabin. And it makes you, I think, a much better person. You become a team player, you know, about respect. You know, you don't want to be that person that sleeps in. You know, you're helping each department. So the training, in a nutshell, I love because I'm very passionate about it. One of my favorite methods of training is the stories, you know, the stories that you can bring, with it, and the stories that I, to this day, still are experiencing are phenomenal.
Well, I was a dive instructor at 18, like yourself, and I think that dive instructor gives you an appreciation of how to kind of, how to live a lifestyle and help others see that vision you have. And you have a wonderful, you know, aura, Sarah, and the way you describe things and the way you show that training comes really through the camera, and I really appreciate your time. For me, I've loved training for crew because I also see the value of what you put in and the value of what the client gets. And
it's quick. 100%.
I just want to take a snapshot. When I've seen junior crew join boats in Med and different places in the world, it's horrifying, like really fearful, because you've got so many rules, and you open that crew training manual, shirt must be tucked in, 8 to 4, 10, 15 minutes morning tea, get your water, don't have too much water, you know, don't refill it.
If you don't get the flag out at 8 o'clock in the morning, it's a sackable offence, you know.
That's the horrible side of the world we live in. The positive side is seeing the places, the gratuities, the experiences, that's it. But your training is different to most because your training starts almost at the very beginning. Is that correct?
It does. So I've gone from the heads of department, you know, specialised in service, specialised in accounts. And it was during COVID that actually quite a few people reached out to me and said, look, I've created so many courses, but there really is, there's a huge demand out there for entry-level crew, green crew, requiring help, knowledge, standards, expectations, that they don't understand anything about the industry with just STCW. STCW is great, it's needed, but it teaches you how to not die. It doesn't talk about life on board, the expectations, the requirements, the standards, the etiquette, because there is an etiquette to it all. And an ENG1, of course you need that as well, but it's to make sure that you don't have any, you know, any illnesses when you're not going to die, you know. So, but neither of them prepare these hungry, passionate, young, fit, healthy, enthusiastic candidates who are fantastic in their own right. But so for me now, you know, during the day I place captains and heads of department, and then the Seize the Day online course that I've created, I offer free advice three evenings a week. And the majority of the advice that I'm having to give out is people who have been told that just get your STCW, get your ENG1 and just go on straight to Mallorca and on Teeb, Fort Lauderdale, wherever. And some of them are just walking onto yachts. And of course, that's just a huge no-no, but they don't know any different, you know, or they're too relaxed with their introductions to the captain, you know, all right, geezer, you know, yo, buddy, you know, there's, and again, it's not their fault. It's then they're just not prepared. And I always say that you've got the law where you're going to get arrested and go to prison. Right. We all know the dealings with that. And then you've got the yachting law, which is things like taking your shoes off before you get on board a yacht, making sure that you ring the bell, don't walk on board the yacht without permission. Make sure that, you know, that you're dressed.
Be on off board, making phone calls in the crew mess, being loud. But you don't realize
it. It's things like, you know, what do you bring on board? You know, how big is your cabin going to be? And sometimes, especially for the green crew, when they're asking me questions, it's, do I get weekends off? You know, I've got a wedding in July, you know, that I want to go to. And you're like, when you're on board a yacht, especially mid-season, you're not going to get that time off.
Yeah.
So I created a course, and primarily what's different with this is it's for every department. So what normally takes me 6 weeks, it took me 6 months full time during COVID, Monday to Friday. And it's everything that somebody wanting to join the industry would need to know. And what's
some diving into it, the reality of working as a green crew on a yacht, you know, your course, there's some great feedback as well and great reviews you've got.
Thank you. Well, I think crucially, everyone that's done the course, they get a Zoom call with me at the end, and wherever they are in the world, I will recommend the nearest maritime school. On top of that, they get to stay in contact with me. So I help them with their CV, and then through WhatsApp, they stay in contact with me. And wherever they're going out to look for day work, I reach out to my network and I ask them to meet them and introduce them and show them around. And so far, so since it launched, the course launched in 22. Yes. And so far, everybody that's done the course has gone on to find work, which is incredible. Yeah.
Yeah. So what's one of the success stories? I've got a couple of questions here. What's one of the success stories that you're proud of? Or, you know, you don't have to say names or anything. You don't have to say names or anything, whatever you're comfortable with, because that's a measure of the course.
Yeah. There's individuals who have gone to crew houses with other individuals who might be louder, more confident than them. And just by having this accreditation on their CV, they've jumped the queue for day work.
Love.
Because the IAMI guest network is now so widely known and respected.
Yeah.
For me, that's huge. To say that I've been trying to help Green Crew and then being part of the IAMI guest program, which is all about acknowledging interior crew. Obviously, now we've branched out to all areas. But yeah, seeing that change of just doing the online course or the 5-day course in the classroom, and that they're being put forward and being chosen by the chief stew, the first officer, the head chef, the captain, or the chief engineer, they're being chosen over other people because they have these qualifications. And then things like, you know, I say to my students, you know, when you do get your job, you know, and that they're always on the phone to me, you know, oh my God, I'm really nervous. I'm going to dock walk today. Can you remind me what to say? And I always say things like, you know, you've got to try to form a conversation. You know, if you're just that regular dock walker saying hi, is there any day work, you know they get so many people doing that. It's like, look for something to talk about. Have they got amazing sunnies? Have they got a great watch? Have they got a great uniform? Ask about the yacht. You know, where's the best place you've been this season? Make yourself memorable by your personality. And then to be tenacious. If one day you've walked the quay and there's no day work, the next day you don't know, you know. For me as a chief stew, and all of my friends and colleagues in the industry have agreed, you look for that person you've seen before. You look for the hard work. You look for the enthusiasm, you know. So that is, it's wonderful when I see, because they all have gone on to find work.
Yeah.
And I ask them to send me kind of videos of the crossing, the first time they do a crossing, and they're already prepared. They know about being a virgin crosser, you know, and what happens the first time you cross the Atlantic, and they're prepared.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
It's giving them the tools to at least get through that first 3 months, because that is the hardest first 3 months. Absolutely. The expectations of it feels like you've got, and correct me if I'm wrong, it feels like you've got everyone's eyes on you. And I see that. I see when I have a junior crew, and I really love junior crew. I think it's fantastic because you can help guide them in the early stages of their career and not make
And they come up with so much enthusiasm. When you have green crew and you're kind of head of department, you're like, oh God, we're going to the Maldives for the fifth year in a row.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh my God, we're going to the Maldives. And you're like, hang on. Yeah, I need to get some of that energy. That's what green crew bring. They remind us of how incredible the industry is.
It's hard, but they do get judgment. They do get that title, green crew, or they don't have the experience, or you give them the bad jobs. And I'm like, we shouldn't treat them like that. Like, I try and treat everyone like professionals on board. You're employed to do a specific role. Learn your roles and responsibilities. And that's kind of my give back is learn what your roles and responsibilities are so you can develop and what's your path to success in the industry. Because it is a beautiful industry.
That's a huge part. And probably the part that took me the longest to create was the career paths within each department. So it goes from junior deckhand all the way to, you know, master mariner, the same for the galley, the same for the engineering. With Link, so it's outsourced to all the different schools out there. And it also, so when I ask them for feedback at the end, I'll say, which was the part that you enjoyed the most? They enjoy the hierarchy on board, because I go into detail of what everybody's job is. they love about the cultures, different cultures of guests and their habits, you know, and their religious and what, how that might affect service. There's a video in there where they upload, they get to choose. So there's about 200 honorific options of how to address the king, how to address the duchess, yeah, how to address the captain. And they get to pick five. And it's only maybe a 10-second video that they upload. That's part of their assessment. But it's for me to see, because they've got to dress smart and they've got to have, yeah, you know, the mandatory yachty, you know, with your arms at the base.
Exactly.
Back. Yeah, posture.
Line up.
Them, you know, yeah, exactly. And then they get to pick, you know, which ones they want to say. And that's really special for me because I get to hear, see what they look like. You know, I get to hear if they have an accent, you know, and how strong that accent is. And crucially, when I have friends in the industry, so even though my job is captains and heads of department, I help green crew for free, you know, and I help place them for free because, you know,
When I started yachting, I remember people like Christy Fox, and there's a certain amount of, you know, Jay Cooper, the people in Fort Lauderdale that were crew agents, and I was a young person looking for a job, and I remember they helped me. And then years later, yeah, I always go back and I acknowledge that.
Well, I always say you've got to give back, and yeah, I don't want it to sound cheesy, but I say to them, I've helped you, you know, and I love helping you, and I want you to succeed. But again, when you get that first job and you see that green crew member on the walking the quay, you know, looking for day work, you have to give back that kindness, you know. Yeah. And there is a huge element of kindness in this industry, which I'm, you know, I'm super proud of. Obviously, you've got your bad eggs here and there. Yeah. But for me to help people, you know, I've got students from, you know, 5 years ago who are now purser and chief stews, and they always would come to me and say, do you have any green crew? Because they know as a standard under IAMI and guests, we have the standard.
Yeah.
So that means we have to teach certain topics, but how we teach them is our way.
Yeah.
But they know that if they have someone who's done my course, whether it's the online course or in the classroom, they know they're going to get a certain standard. You know, I don't pussyfoot around. You know, I tell them how it is. As we were talking before about the girls that have the hair extensions,
the eyelashes.
Yeah, you're just like, no.
Not
you
know,
imagine the owner with one of those eyelashes in, you know, in his suit. Yeah.
No, it's good. That's what's good about the industry, I think, is there is a certain standard. Like, it's called yachting standard. And it's hard to explain, but when a client walks on and sees these 12, 24, however many people in whatever roles they are, they're, like you're saying, the best service is where you're not seen.
Yeah.
You know, and that I call it psychic service.
I think on a yacht, it's psychic service. You have to know what they want before they ask.
Yeah.
And again, even from the online course at the very beginning, I'm saying to them, whether you're deck engineering, every time that guest does something for the first time, you have to note it, you have to write it down. That's their preferences.
Yeah.
You know, so they don't have to ask again. And I think for good service, I mean, as you know, we do a lot of research before they come on board.
Yeah.
We've got the preference sheets. Again, that's in the course, which again, STCW, ENG1, doesn't cover what a preference sheet is. The preference sheet gives us an insight on paper of the personality, what time they're going to wake up, water sports, what style of service, what the national, any birthdays, you know, it's, you know, what's an APA, you know, what's the budget for the flowers, the budget for the deck. And like you say, when you're standing in your semicircle, you know, and when they first come on board, again, I teach them, they're not going to want to shake the hand of every single crew member. You've got to have poise and confidence, and you just nod your head. You know, that means the world. That's just saying welcome on board.
Yeah.
You know,
and that's the start when they come on board. What I love about yachting too, a 5-7 day charter, 10 day, 2 weeks, it's all the same. They come on board as complete strangers. And I tell crew, it's a show. Don't ever mistake it. This is a show. We have to put on a performance, and we have to move in such a way that they feel comfortable, that they don't feel like they need anything. And that we're always available without being in the way.
Absolutely.
You know, there's so much training. But all of that is not taught in really any courses except like the ones you're talking about, that etiquette.
That's what I mean. It's the etiquette. So, like, you know, simple things like, so when I talk about the service, because obviously the deck get involved in the service as well with the delivery of the food sometimes or cleaning up afterwards. But I say, actually, the seven-star service, the psychic service that they expect, there is no like, oh, you know, can I check, is everything okay for you? Would you like, is the meat okay? Is the fish okay?
Yeah.
You don't do that like you do in a restaurant. They want you to take control of the service. they want you to sort out everything for them. And it's really bad etiquette for a guest, especially if the owner or the principal has said yes to a menu and you printed it out. If they complain about the food that the owner or the principal has said yes to, again, it's all this etiquette. But I find them, it's easier service because you sachet in, you sachet out. You know, if they don't want any more wine, they'll put their hand over the glass.
Yes.
You know, there's very little. And if you're doing a good job, then the conversation between the guests doesn't change. Yeah. You know, and the same for the deck crew, you know, there's an etiquette to, you know, how you hold their hand when you're helping them get on and off the yacht, you know, making it as the transition as smooth as possible. Even checking, you know, if you're taking them into shore for a shoreside excursion, making sure that there's no wake, making sure that it's not raining, you know, the whole experience, as you say, you're trying to make it as magical as possible.
And as seamless and as natural. Like, I put a lot of effort into training between deck and interior and engineers and myself, having the guests go from a lunch to then what is the afternoon activity. And you don't want a first officer who's not presentable coming up presenting, or a captain who's not informed presenting the guests their afternoon activities. So there's this, when they have their coffee, I'll usually have a little conversation, the chief steward involved, because we're transitioning from a high-level chief stewardess service to all of a sudden with a junior deckhand out fishing on a boat. But that has to be seamless. It has to be.
But they also, I think, you know, an important thing with a deck crew is they have to feel safe, you know, so with the deck crew kind of going on the back of the jet ski with a guest, but it being socially appropriate, you know. Yeah. So the etiquette, no matter which department you're in, you know, even for the chefs, you know, for the chefs, the stress that chefs are under and they're in that tiny area producing dishes like a, you know, a Michelin star restaurant.
Again,
whilst the yacht's rolling and they have to feed the crew.
Yeah.
So for me, having that friendship and respect with the interior crew and the deck crew, you know, tell the chef they're doing a great job, you know, give them the feedback. And I always believe, even though the chefs, you know, sometimes say they don't want to, but the first meal and the last meal or anything that's special in between, get the chef out, you know, let him or her have the accolade, you know, get everyone to clap.
Yeah.
You know, it's, and again, it's that kind of crew working together as crew. But again, you're not taught any of this on STCW. You're not taught any of this having an ENG1. So you've got these incredible, as I say, there's the law where you're going to go to prison and there's the yachting law. And unless you're told these things or informed or educated in this.
It's online and 5 days, correct? There's online and 5 days.
So the online I created for every department. Okay. Yeah. So that's, it doesn't matter which department you want to be in, it's relevant. And it's all about what the industry is like, the demographics, how to get into it, how to be with agents. This is what real life is like on board. As I said, I mean, it took me 6 months to create. So the content is immense.
Yeah.
So they get 10 days to complete that. So most people, it's about 16 hours online. And each section has a quiz, multiple choice quiz. And it's all really fun. I mean, I had to make it, you know, I'm getting on now, but I had to make it current, you know, sexy,
engaging,
you know, visually amazing. So I worked with a great videographer called Guy Fleury. So he sent me some really great images. I worked with FedShip and Lursen. They gave me some 3D models that I could use. So you've got my voice and they're walking around the yacht, so they know all the terminology. You know, so there's lots of people that I'm at Seize the Mind, you know, I'm Seize the Day. Yeah. You know, Emma Kate Ross from Seize the Mind, she's done the course.
She's the best.
Crew agents, I've said for them to do the course. So anybody that wants to be affiliated with me, two people in the office can do the course for free and then they're accrediting it, so to speak. The idea is the online course is, you know, it's affordable, it's accessible. They're not forking out €2,500 dollars to do a deck course, STCW, ENG1, powerboat, jet ski, and then go, oh, it's not for me.
Yeah,
you know, I can't commit to this. So you've got the onset of an inquiry, you know, somebody's thinking about it. I've watched Below Decks, and then they can do the course and go, actually, I now understand how professional this industry is and I'm not ready yet. And I've only spent £199, and that includes their certification.
Yeah.
So you've got that. Also, what's fantastic is a lot of management companies, yacht management companies, when people are coming into the office but they haven't worked on a super yacht, they're doing the course. It's telling them about life on board. And then you've got the people who have signed up for STCW and what a lot of the maritime schools have done, which is fantastic. They get a welcome pack 10 days before. You know, this is what you're going to be doing, fire, lifeboats, you need your swimmers. And then they have a link in the welcome pack to my course. And again, that brings them a lot more prepared, professional. They know the jargon. They're more confident. And that's essentially what I wanted to bring to the table. And what I would love, which, as you know, MCA standards, it takes a long time for things to change, but it would be great. It's now called a recommended industry standard alongside STCW.
Fantastic.
But it would be fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, maybe before 150, you know, that it could be mandatory with STCW. So that's the online course. And that's, for me, that's, I'm still training in classrooms. That's separate. That's more interior, just interior based.
Yeah.
But the online course is my baby.
Yeah, I think it's fantastic. And like you're saying, it gives people the insight into the industry so they can commit and make those, you know, learn those, the rules of the road per se as they enter, as they enter. I've got a question for you. Social media personal branding. It's a big thing that's coming in the industry. A lot of applications I'm seeing now, whether it's as a captain applying for a new job or it's a junior deckhand, they're asking for your social media handles. They're asking for a video, you know, an interview video.
Yeah.
How do you see that fitting in with the confidentiality of the industry? Or do you think that's vessel by vessel specific?
Honestly, I've always taught that. I've always said that they will, if they're considering you, they will look at your Facebook. They will look at your Instagram. They will check out what kind of person you are. And if you're...
That's the reality, you know, isn't it?
That is the reality.
We all do.
You know, and if you wanted confidentiality, then, you know, you don't go on Facebook. Facebook is an open, excuse the pun, book.
Yeah.
You know, they're calling it Face 8 now because it's so old. All the young ones are calling it Face 8. It's all Insta and TikTok. But, you know, it's because when you want to work in this industry, we said it before at the beginning of our conversation, it's a commitment. It's a lifestyle.
Yeah.
And if, you know, let's talk about the realities. Let's say someone's just in their STCW, ENG1. They've got no clue what to expect. They get taken on board. You're in the middle of the season. This was a last minute placement. Or even if not, they come on board, you're paying them a salary, they've got, you know, medical assistance, you know, private care. Then there's the agent that placed them, they get their commission.
Commissions.
And then if that person, which we all, you know, we've all seen, if that person within that trial period, which a month, 3 months, either leaves because it's too much and they can't handle it because they're not prepared, or they're fired for the same reasons or let go, you've got the yacht having to repatriate them. You've got the agent having to replace them for free. And crucially, the confidence of that individual is massively knocked. And in an era where it's all about crew mental health, which it quite rightly should, you know, without this online course, you know, it's directly impacting someone's mental health.
Yeah, very
you know?
Much.
And then we'll go back to the social media. I think, you know, when you are asked to join a yacht, you are living on an owner's probably most prized possession.
Yeah.
You know, you're in a boiling pot in the crew area where you've got, everyone's got very similar personalities, really. You're outgoing, you want to see the world, you know, you want to meet new people, you know, the wallflowers and the stay-at-home people don't come to work on yachts.
No.
You've got people with very similar personalities that you have to blend with, and again, you'll probably appreciate this yourself. You can't be too loud, you can't be too quiet.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so you when you're deciding on taking a crew member, you look at their social media to see if that matches the person that you've met in the interview.
And also the crew, because every vessel is different. Like, it's, people say it's all the same. No, you've got to find your place and your people. Like, the people that I love to be around with, like right now, an unbridled the crew we have and have had in the past, I value them as individuals. I put a lot of time into saying, if you're the quiet person, you want to read a book, do that. You know, if you want to go and celebrate and party, you can do that. But on the boat professionally, we need to try and find a balance between everyone where we respect each other as individuals and as human beings and push it together. But your course, I think, really is, should be a requirement, as well as the information when we talk about mental health. And that's something that I'm big on now, because at the age of 46 and 25 years in yachting, I've seen a lot of things and I've heard a lot of things, good and bad. And I want to be, you know, I want to give back to the industry and the community and help people understand products like yours give you the tools to protect yourself.
Yeah, I know, absolutely. And it's, and within the course as well, there's a huge section on crew mental health with outposting to ISWAN, Seize the Mind, you know, the crew coach. And there's the, and as I say, where the links are, it takes them directly to their website. So that's the wonderful thing that I like about the online course is that I'm not in competition with anybody. It's the only accredited online course for each department. But it outsources to everybody, to everyone that I support, everybody that's been in the industry for a long time. There's links directly to their websites. And the crew mental health is something. So with Seize the Mind, I did her leadership course and she did my course. So we're affiliated. But
I've just finished Corinne Rayson's, the crew coach's course, a foundational
leadership. I've done hers as well.
That's fantastic. It's funny, I just finished it with Corinne with a new baby and I was like, oh, this is a great way to finish it, you know, the next generation.
But you know what? I think with the crew mental health, the key the people, I mean, obviously you've got the green crew who are struggling, you know, and it's great for your head of department to notice that and know how to address it and come to you and talk to you, and most importantly, outsource to someone who's a professional. But also in my career, you know, for captains, it can be quite a lonely place.
Oh,
you know,
so 100%. Horribly lonely. I'm blessed to have a wife and two children that I have, you know, and family and friends. And, I, you know, it's a hard balance because do you, and this is being vulnerable and transparent, but do I trust my crew with my own personal problems or my own personal journey or, you know, and it's tough. It's really tough. Sometimes will they use that vulnerability against you? It's a hard thing to navigate. And as a captain or head of department, it's any role I find, you're in the middle and you've got owners, brokers, agents, local businesses and people who want to collaborate with you in different ways. And you've kind of just got to try and find this balance to keep owners, crew and brokers happy. And that's a hard world to live in because you're not putting yourself in that world. But I think now that
with the outsourcing, so you've got Corinne, the crew coach, you've got Nautilus, the PYA, you know, you've got Lynn Edwards from Phoenix, you know, you've got all these entities now of people who have not only been in the industry for minimum of 2 decades. They know how you feel. You've got somewhere to talk to, you know, an Ice One, which is fantastic. They're 24/7. Multiple languages offered. There's certainly when I was on the yachts, literally had the DPA. Yeah, that was it.
Being the DPA had a vested interest with the captain and the management company that it's in a circle and you're never going to get any, no disrespect. It's hard to get anywhere with a DPA.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And certainly if you can't speak to your head of department or you can't speak to the captain, who do you speak to? Whereas now, which is fantastic.
So there's all these platforms out there, but what's the why? Why do we have so many mental health issues in yachting? That's what I'm trying to dive into now. Why? Is it because we're in that goldfish that we talked about earlier? Is it because of the egos of different heads of department and captains or the lack of foundational training? What's your take?
I think it could be all of that. I mean, when I was on board yachts for the 10 years, I was very lucky. I chose great crew. And maybe that's because I've always kind of understood the importance of when you're in an interview, you're interviewing that person as well. You're like, can I work with you? You know, what's the itinerary? What's the longevity of the crew? I think from the feedback that I get, you know, from a head of department, if a head of department, sometimes they become bullish, you know, a head of department should always have that approachable demeanor about them. You know, they should always have that, you know, if you have a problem, come to me.
And the captain should as well, though, correct?
Absolutely. But there's a lot of pressure on the captain. So for me, I say the captain that's the end person. If you can't go to your head of department, absolutely go to the captain.
Yeah.
But the reason you have a head of department is they're running that department for you.
Yeah.
You know, you've got your own commitments, the guests and the navigation and the paperwork and ISM compliancy and, you know, all the stuff we were talking about before. But I think certainly now there's a lot more social media presence about the yachting industry. And that has a good and a bad effect. So the good effect is the people that are doing my course and the classrooms, when I say, how did you hear about the industry? They're saying below decks, you know, so that's the good side of it. The bad side of it potentially is they think they're going to hook up, you know, every other day with somebody and that charters are 3 days long, which I wish they were 3 days long, you know, and they're not 3 days long. But so I think there's a lot of negative and positive emphasis from the social media. It was just an exclusive industry when I first started, and probably the same for you.
Yeah, very much so.
But I
don't talk,
I think,
don't see.
NDAs who never speak badly about each other, you know, which I'm still quite old fashioned like that, you know, and that we were talking about that platform where they, you know, openly speak badly about crew members. And again, that could affect someone's mental health. You know, if they have been
fired. It's a gossipy industry. I hear you. Oh, that boat over there did this. And that, did you hear that person got fired? Did you see them on the dock? Like, it's, you're in a goldfish, but you're also looking out as much as people are looking in. And that's the challenge. You know what I mean?
And I think the mental health, I think it's a case of if you've got issues at home or something that you're struggling with, that you feel it's not work related, you know, how would you bring that to your chief, your head of your chief, your chief officer, your captain? Because you're thinking, well, you know, that's not part of my job. You know, who do I speak to? So you've got the loneliness factor. And then you've got the, you know, and I've heard about it and I've seen it a couple of times in my, on the side was on alienating somebody, you know, which is just awful. You know, when we talked about it before, about if there's a problem, bringing it to the table, getting it ironed out, talking about it. And I think the external organisations that we've got, which you've done Corinne's course as well, it's about bringing things to the table and talking and giving somebody time, you know, let them talk. You've got to listen and say, okay, well, this is how we're going to deal with it. And if you can't deal with it, you've got the outposting amazing companies out there that can help them. You know, like Nautilus, you know, if they need help getting home, you know, any legal, you know, issues, that's another side that can affect people. If you've got a difficult owner, Madame doesn't like what you smell like or what you look like and you've been fired, you know.
Look, Sarah, you know, these captain's chats are usually only 10, 15 minutes long, but you and I are going into a lot of things and I really value that because, you know, like I said, I want to give back. I've been in those cars beside owners when they say to me, that stewardess doesn't seem to have the intellect that we need in not so nice words, you know what I mean? And then I have to go back to the boat and that chef doesn't perform the way, and I need to go back to the boat and address those issues. So it is tough being a captain, but it's also, as crew, it's so difficult to find a way to reach out with your personal and professional problems. So what I'm doing late in the last 5 years is I'm telling crew when they join, you don't have to tell me who your people are or who your network is, but I need you to tell me you have a network because I can't answer all your questions. And the crew, the head of department can't. So I'm encouraging crew now to go back to their crew placement services. Go back to people like yourself, Sarah, who can give them transparent, unfiltered, unbiased references and resources. Because that's where I find the strength in crew. Yeah. I've also put high-speed Wi-Fi on the bridge. No recording devices, but I'm like, you need to call home. Like, have you called home?
But
like,
I think as well that the crucial thing with the agents, especially if it's someone who's worked in the industry, which I believe the best agents are the one who have been there, done it, worked in the industry, is you can be completely candid. We understand if you say, you know, there was inappropriate behaviour with one of the deckhands or the chief stew wasn't very nice, you can be completely transparent. And we get it. You know, it's not something that we hold against you.
And also sometimes the crew agents come back to the captain and say, yes, there's something not right there and they're not feeling. And I said, perfect. That's I don't need to know. Confidentiality is everything to me. I hear stories like even on vessels I've been master of that I had no idea happened. And crew are aware of it. And I'm like, how did that happen? You know what I mean? And it's like, how is that person spoken to like that? In and around me as such a positive person where I would never speak like that. And that's where I think junior crew have a right and have a duty to be responsible and stand up and outsource.
And you have a voice, you know.
You have a voice.
The backbone of the industry, fair enough that it's getting a bit wobbly with social media, but fundamentally the backbone of the industry is we are nice people. We are supportive. We're friendly.
Love traveling. Love experiencing
traveling. We want people to grow. You know, if you're in Fort Lauderdale, you've run out of money. If you're a yachties will help you. You know, they'll say, come stay at mine. Here's some money. Let me introduce you to this person I know for day work. And that's the positivity of it all. And just to say briefly that with the online course, anyone that I have come into contact with that's done the course or the classroom, they have me as a support. So I'm their first industry professional that will be like, go see these people, these are the agents, brilliant. If you look on the key, tell me which yachts are there, I'll tell you which ones I know, you know, if I know the captain. So it's that support, because I think it all comes down to confidence and having the confidence to be yourself. And in this industry, I think enthusiasm sells for green crew anyway. Enthusiasm sells, because that's sometimes what we lack when you've been on board,
to be taken advantage of, you know what I mean? There's a fine line, like if as a captain you I see situations and I hear of situations and on different, I mean, a lot of different groups as well, WhatsApp captains groups and you know, different groups. And I see these things and I'm like, guys, you can't say that. You can't speak or think like that. As a community, but also, we have to change our mind that we are one. We're one community. And on board, you know?
Yeah. But also that they have to, I think the new Gen Z, you know, people that are coming through, some of them are not aware of that it's old, you know, it's old fashioned, I suppose, but it's something that I love about yachts, the hierarchy, you know, respecting the captain, respecting the chief engineer, respecting the head chef. And, you know, I think there's two ways. Is of course, the green crew needs to know they've got a voice, and they do, and they have, and it's all in place. It's all there for them. But equally, for them
there's
to have
realistic
knowledge of this is the standard, this is what we expect, this is what life is really like on board, this is your job, you know, these are the months that you're going to be working, you know, this is the commitment, you know, it's there's both parallels, but what I think is wonderful is that it's out there, the resources are there, which were never first started.
Anyway, well, we're going to continue after the recording, I'm sure. Sarah, we've got so much to go over, and I really love your energy. I think you know, it's been a while since I've met someone, so with both being dive instructors, both committing to the industry yourself, and from what I can offer on board boats, because I'm still actively always on board boats, and I see my children develop. My children are 14 and 16. And I'm
nearly old enough to do my online course.
Exactly. So it's going to be my advice to them. But I'm also seeing junior crew that are 18 and 19, and I'm like, I need to help. I need to try and help this industry so people can, maybe my children do it, maybe they don't. It's not relevant, but it's relevant that someone, when I see an 18-year-old male or female walking down the dock, they need to be protected. They need to be loved, supported, not judged, because they're still young minds and they don't know what they don't know.
You asked me before, I think, about it, and I just remembered a really lovely story to end on. So I called, who I know is a captain now, but I've known him for a long time. And I called him a couple of weeks ago and I said, oh, hey, you know, can I help you out with any positions on board? And he was like, Sarah, I will never forget what you did for me. He'd done his deckhand course with Flying Fish. I'd met him there. So I was teaching the stew course. He was 19. He landed in on team. And I went to pick him up. I said, look, no worries. You know, I'll pick you up. I'll show you around on team. And he was just so smiley and happy and just so enthusiastic and grateful to be there. I thought, do you know what? And I've done this quite a few times. I thought, I'll walk you around the quay and I'll show you how to, you know, introduce yourself to a yacht. By the end of the day, he got a job on Kingdom, which was always based in Antibes. Didn't really do very much, but he stayed on there for 3 years. Fantastic. And now he's 34. He's got his master mariner.
Yes.
He's on a 75 meter.
Yes.
You know, he's dating, he's engaged to the purser and he's so happy. You know, living his best life. But yeah, that was a wonderful, you know, turnaround. And he says, I tell everybody about, you know, how I got into the industry and you. So that's like, oh, it's all worth it then, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the why. That's what we talked about at the start. What's the why? It's that giving back and the circle of it all that keeps that energy going. Anyway, I really have loved our conversation. I appreciate it. How can people find you?
Seize the day training. I didn't realize it was 10 minutes.
I know. Well, it's usually, but it's, I let it flow, but I want people to get quality information. But with you, every word you say, every little bit of story you've got is quality information, and it's helping the future of this community, of this yachting community. And people really have to put it together. It's junior crew, it's senior brokers, it's owners of yachts. We're all in the one industry together. And the more we understand that, the more we can build as a community, I think.
Absolutely.
So how can they find you? Seize the Day Training.
Seize the Day Training, it's online, Seize the Day Training. As we made the joke before, it was Seize the Day. The acronym for that is STD, which we can't have.
I'll do that.
STD. Seize the Day Training, spelt like the C, S-E-A-S. Yeah, it's all online. The platform is Thinkific. They can click right through it, £199, and they'll have network contacts. They've got me at the end, and I help them through the whole process.
Beautiful. Anything you need, I'm always here to help. I'll put the link below. This is Captain Liam from Moe Yacht and Bridal. Be blessed, be safe, look after one each other, and thank you, Sarah Diggle, for your time.
If your brand belongs in the heart of the yachting world, this is where it happens. Yachting International Radio reaches over 1 million yachting professionals and enthusiasts every month with 77 million impressions, 220,000 social followers, and 74,000 podcast subscribers. Our hosts are insiders, crew, captains, CEOs, trusted voices shaping the industry. This is targeted, high-impact advertising in a luxury niche. Visit yachtinginternationalradio.com/advertise. Your audience is already listening.